able to see a change in their life. This morning we're going to talk about Zacchaeus. Every time I hear that name, I think of the song. I will not sing it for you. I wouldn't punish you like that. But if you don't know the song about Zacchaeus being a wee little man, what a great topic, Jillian, for you to talk about me being short. You would have think we had that planned. Yeah, ask about any Sunday school teacher and they'll sing the song for you, but I will not punish you. But this week, as I was working on this, that's the song that kept going through my head. I had a lady last night after Saturday night service left. She said, I think that song will be stuck in my head all week now. So we're going to pray and we'll jump into, we've been working our way through Luke. Made it up to chapter 19, so that's where we're going to start. We're going to pray. Father God, Lord, I thank you for your word. And as she said, Lord, it's true. I believe in context, it's the inspired word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would open it up to us in a powerful, fresh way through the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that we would allow you to change our lives and that we wouldn't leave here the way we came in, but we would be different because of what you've done in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you forgive us where we fall short, because we do. So I pray you forgive us for all of our sins. I pray, Lord, that we'd be humble and reverent and in awe of you. I pray, Lord, that you would speak. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So we're in Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. We talked a little bit about Jericho. Jericho actually at this time was a pretty prosperous city. There was quite a bit of traffic, at least according to Harold Martin, at that time through the city. There were several major roads that kind of went through that area. There was one leading to the north to Damascus, one to the west to Caesarea, and then to the south to Egypt. There was a lot of, like I said, people traveling through, people passing through, and it was a prosperous town at the time, city. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He was a chief tax collector. He was over the other tax collector, so he would have got his cut. He was making money, and as we already said, it was a prosperous city. It was a prosperous place, so he was getting a good cut. He was making good money. He had wealth, the comforts that money could buy. He was rich, but that doesn't mean he was happy, and it does not mean he was fulfilled, and it does not mean he had peace, because money doesn't buy those things. You can buy temporary pleasure, right? You can buy something to make you happy for a little while, but it loses its luster. Just because he was rich didn't mean he had it all together by any means. He wanted to see who Jesus was. I don't know. Was it just curiosity? Was it just because he had heard about him? I mean, again, there was a lot of people traveled through the city, roads that led through. Jesus had been doing some amazing stuff for a while now. He was healing people. He was raising the dead. He was feeding the multitudes. Stuff that multitudes and multitudes saw. I'm sure the stories were out and about. And he had probably heard of Jesus. I wonder how much of it was curiosity, but maybe there was more. Maybe he had a hole in his heart, right? Maybe he wasn't fulfilled. Maybe the money wasn't enough. Maybe he wanted more in life. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. Again, he was a tax collector. To understand and grasp this story, I know that we talked about this over and over and over and over, and you know this, but they weren't just liked. They weren't just not popular. They were despised. The tax collectors were hated. They were looked at as greedy. They were looked at as thieves. They were looked at as traitors. Look, when they would collect money for Rome, people saw that as supporting the society of Rome and supporting paganism. They hated them. These guys were despised. They were hated. And he was not big. Him walking into a crowd of people might not have been a good day for him. and he couldn't see over them. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. So how many of you saw an adult rich man climb a tree this week? Doesn't happen every day, does it? I think he really wanted to see Jesus, and I believe he was humble enough to climb a tree if that's what it took. I see glimpses of humility there and putting in effort to see the Lord. I believe we will see him face to face. It's coming. We will see him again. But I believe we can see glimpses of him now through his word, through his Holy Spirit, and through his people. We should be able to see a glimpse of who he is, again, through his Holy Spirit and his word, through people. But I wonder sometimes if we're humble enough to do it, and if we're willing to put in effort to seek him. Zacchaeus was willing to be humble enough to climb a tree. Those sycamore fig trees, they were grew to about 30 to 40 feet high. They had short trunks, a lot of branches, but he still had to make effort. Are we willing to put in effort to grow in him and to learn and to be discipled and to disciple? I believe we're called to be discipling people up, but we're also called to be discipled up, right? And growing and steel sharpening steel and not lukewarm and not trying to just coast. That whole discipling thing, just for a second, on a side note, I was talking with a group of pastors not too long ago, and one of them made a comment. It struck me. I don't know why. It probably shouldn't have. It shouldn't surprise me, but it did. But he said he was wanting to disciple some people up, and he approached this one guy about, you know, spending some time with him and helping him, and the guy was offended. He was offended that the pastor wanted to spend time with him to disciple him up because he thought he had already arrived, and who are you that I need discipled up? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What's the cause behind that? It's pride. And my thought is, he's the guy that needed discipled up. Pastors need discipled up, right? We still need other people, right? We're called to be there to build one another up. Anyhow, it takes effort. I believe we can get glimpses and see him again through his word, through his Holy Spirit. And hopefully, the church, if doing things the way the church is supposed to be, we see a glimpse of him through the church. And it gets us to verse 5. When Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. If you remember, if you haven't been here, you don't know the context of what's going on. He's on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He knows exactly what's going to take place. In fact, he just had told his disciples what was going to happen to him. He said, he will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. He knows what's coming. He knows that not only is he going to have to face the physical side of things, but he's going to have the sin of the world upon him. And separation from the Father. He knows what's coming. He knows that's what is right before him. He's working his way there. He's leading them there. He's got a lot on his plate. He's got multitudes around him, always pulling him down. And look what he does. He stops and points out a little dude hiding in a tree to get a glimpse at him. And he is a guy that the rest of the people wouldn't have stopped to even look at because they hated him. And did you catch the fact that Jesus calls him out by name? He calls him out by name. I'm not great with names. I'm just not. Right? And I apologize. I wish I was better at it than I am. I'm not great with names, but I believe it's meaningful. And I believe knowing somebody and being able to call somebody out by name, it means something to them. It puts value to them, right? I wonder if he already battled with some self-confidence stuff, because there's a lot of people that battle with self-confidence stuff due to physical things, right? in a lot of different aspects. Not only height, right? There's other things that happen to people physically, and then they start to have battles with self-confidence. I wonder if this guy battled a little bit with self-confidence. He was small, and he was despised. He was would have been pushed aside. The religious leaders wouldn't have wasted their time with him. They wouldn't have thought he was worth anything. Wonder what he felt about himself, how he felt about himself. And all he wanted is to get a glimpse of who Jesus was. And Jesus stops, even though he is tons of pressure on him as he's going to the cross. He stops and said, Zacchaeus, what in the world are you doing? Get down out of the tree. He calls him by name. I want you to know that he knows you by name. He knows every hair on your head. You have value to him. Not because of what you look like or how fast you can run a 40 or what your bench press is or how much money you make. You're valuable to him because you're his child, his creation. If you want to have value in your life, it's not because of the things that the world says is important. What makes us have great value is we are children of the King. We are royalty. We have value because not who we are, but whose we are, right? We're his. Jesus is giving Zacchaeus value, right? Even though the world gave him none. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I don't know if you catch it. I feel that there's a time frame going on here. Jesus has a plan. He has something that he's going to go do. He has a purpose that he's going to go fulfill. He has a mission, and there's a time frame. At this point, he didn't have a lot of time just to hang out. It was immediate. He wanted him to come down now. And then he said, I must stay at your house today. When I read that, I don't know what you get when you read that, but I believe it's a divine appointment. He knew that he had to meet him, and he knew he needed to keep this appointment, right? That's how I read that. He's like, come down out of there. We got to go talk. A divine appointment. I believe God. I don't know if you've ever had them, but sometimes he just orchestrates things where he can use you or use other people in your life in mighty ways. Divine meetings. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly, right? He just wanted a glimpse at him, and now he's like, the party's at my house. He was thrilled. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Do you see it? That's the world. Jesus is showing love to him, giving value. He's recognizing him, and the world hates it. Why? Because they see no worth in him. He was not worth Jesus' time. He was not worth saving. The world does that to people. Do we do that to people? Please don't raise your hand. But do we do that to people? Do you have people in your head that you think are not worth his time, that are beyond saving? They're too far gone. They're too far down. They're beyond his grace, beyond his blood. I hope you know the answer to that already. Is anybody beyond the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ? I hope you can answer that. But I think sometimes we see people and we put them in categories. If anybody was sinning and struggling, it was the crowd at this point, because they were muttering and ripping and gossiping and tearing because they didn't like him, and I don't believe they wanted him to be saved. I don't think they wanted him to find it. They hated him. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And again, this is just how I read it, so you can take this or leave it. You can do whatever you want. I don't know how you see Zacchaeus here. I picture him as a little guy with a little ADHD going on right here, right? He is excited, right? He's all pumped up. He's like, look, Lord, like he's excited. Now, maybe he was more like Eeyore or Droopy the Dwarf, and he was Humpty Dumpty, but I don't think so. I get the impression that he's wound, right? Jesus is in his house. He's like, look, Lord, like he's a little kid with a new toy. He's excited because there's something going on in his life. Look, Lord, here and now, I give half my possessions to the poor. That's huge. Jesus, from what we know in this, did Jesus ask him to give half of his possessions to the poor? Why did he do it? He goes on to say this, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount, 400%, right? Four times. I will give them four times. If I cheated anybody, I'll give them four times what I took. Four times. Why? Did Jesus tell him to do that? Not that we know of. Why? I believe it's evidence. I believe it's evidence of what's going on in Zacchaeus' life. James says it like this, show me your faith without deeds and I will show you my faith by what I do. I believe what's going on is God's changing Zacchaeus' life, and I believe that what he's doing is evidence of it. Does that mean, am I saying that you have to go give half of your possessions away? No. If God calls you to, do what he calls you to do, because he can bless you. But no, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying this is how God was working in his life. Zacchaeus is doing something right now that the rich young ruler, when asked, really struggled with. But Zacchaeus is gladly doing it without even being asked, as far as we know, because he was having a change of heart. God was changing him. I believe that whenever you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should be different. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You're made new. What do you mean you're made new? Jesus was talking about being born again, right? When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, a lot of things happen, right? You go from being an object of wrath to being a child of the King. When you repent, your sins are forgiven. You're washed clean. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. A lot of things happen to us. Now, this was before Pentecost, right? But I believe the Holy Spirit could have still been there working on Zacchaeus' life. But they weren't infilled with the Holy Spirit until a little later on. But in our lives, when we accept Jesus, a lot of stuff happens, right? Your sins get washed away. You get filled with the Holy Spirit. You have the promise of eternal life. A lot of huge things happen, and I believe it changes us. I believe that there's an immediate change, but I believe that that change continues to happen. It's called sanctification, where he chips away the junk in our life that shouldn't be there. So we should be different. That doesn't mean we're perfect. We're changed. We're different. And then he continues to work on us to make us more like him, sanctifying us, chipping away. I believe what you're seeing here is the evidence that his heart was changed. And this is what he wanted to do. What he felt he needed to do. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Did salvation come to that house because of his actions? Did salvation come to the house because of his actions? Did salvation come to the house because he gave half of what he owned to the poor and paid back the people four times what he took from them? Salvation came to the house because of change of heart, because he accepted Jesus as his Savior, because he had faith in Christ. He put his faith in Christ, and he received Christ's grace. Salvation happens when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and when he covers you with his grace and his blood. Amen? That's what causes salvation. The things that transpired, the actions, were just evidence of the change of heart. Salvation has come to this house. Today, salvation has come to this house. because this man too was a son of Abraham. Is he a son of Abraham because he's a Jew, or is he a son of Abraham because of his faith? The answer to that is yes. It's yes. It's both. Are we children of Abraham? I mean, I don't know how many of you have Jewish bloodline in you. I don't know that I have any. I'm not a great genealogy scholar, but I don't know that I have any. But I'm still a child of Abraham through adopted in because of faith. Today, salvation has come to this house because this man, too, was a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Look, he was busy. He had pressure. He had stuff going on. And he stopped as he was walking on his way to die for us and pointed out a little guy that the world despised and said, hey, you need to come down because we need to have a heart to heart. He came to seek and to save. Church, I believe we have the same mission. We have the same mission. I don't know if you noticed, but Jesus went out. Don't get me wrong. There were people that flooded and flocked and multitudes came to him. But he also was willing to go out to the world. I believe the church needs to go out and minister in the world. Not in a holy huddle all the time. Yeah, it's great when people come find us, but I believe we're called to go to them. Salvation is open to everyone who will accept him. He did not say, get perfect and find me. If that was the case, we're all doomed. He said, find me and we'll work on stuff, right? Come to me and we'll work on things. Beyond political views, beyond sin in people's life, look, he doesn't like sin. He hates it. We aren't supposed to like sin, but people are wrapped in it. So you love the person, hate the sin, right? You care enough about them to reach out to them, even if they're trapped. And then God changes lives. God changes lives. If you have people that you think are beyond hope, I ask you to stop and rethink it. I believe a true encounter with Jesus Christ changes things. I was actually talking to a friend of mine here recently, an amazing young man, came from a tough background. I don't know his whole testimony. Came from a tough background. I don't believe he grew up in Mayberry, Ohio. Been through a lot. It wasn't always easy. Still not always easy. And he said this, he said, whenever I accepted Jesus as my Savior, things changed. It wasn't always easy. You know, he didn't get $1 million and a new Porsche. Still works like a dog to make ends meet. But his life changed because of encounter with the King. God is in the business of changing lives. I believe the church is supposed to be the body, the hands and the feet of Christ. We're not perfect. We're a bunch of people. The only perfect thing in the church is God, the head of the church, Jesus Christ. The rest of us, we're a little messed up. Maybe a lot messed up. Praise God for grace. But I believe we're supposed to be working at seeking the lost and pointing them to him because he's the one that saves them. If you can get them to have an encounter with the King, he is a life-changing God. He is a life-changing God. Father God, I thank you that you are who you say. I thank you that you are loving and merciful and full of power and full of grace, that you're holy and just, merciful and grace at the same time. Lord, your perfect balance of it all. And Lord, you know that there's a lot of people out there, and some, Lord, it's hard. Because we sometimes see through our eyes. We see them as the world tells us we should see them. The world tells us sometimes they're beneath us, or they're not worth it, or you can't help them, or they're beyond hope, or the world tells us all kinds of lies, and the enemy tells us all kinds of lies. Lord, I pray that you help us to see people through your eyes, not ours. To hear what you say about them and not what the world says about them. I pray, Lord, that you would use us as your hands and feet, as a light, as an instrument in the world, in the community around us, in the wheelhouse that you put us in, that people see that we are different than we were. We're different because of what you've done in our life. They can see a change in our life, and they see glimpses of you, and they want what we have. They want you, Lord. Pray for the lost, and I pray that they're saved by your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. If you would, please stand.